Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
It is now 11 minutes after 7 p.m. this evening. It is the 2nd of November, 2022. Thank you so much for joining us right here on Adventist World Radio. The name of the show, it is Business Sense with me, Thapelo Mono. Of course, you and I have been best of buddies from 6 p.m. this evening. We are into our second and final hour of the show, it being a Wednesday, as you know. Specifically on Wednesdays, we deal with the issues that pertain to small businesses, from also interviewing some of the leading small businesses. But more than anything, we try and look at some of the issues that small businesses face. And this evening, I have the pleasure of talking to Sakai. Now, Sakai is the chapter head of the Aspen Network Development of Entrepreneurs in South Africa, which is abbreviated ANDE, A-N-D-E, right? She brings the experience as a mining lawyer, development specialist, and business development manager in both the public and private sectors. In particular, she has provided technical assistance to development finance institutions, small and growing businesses, multinational companies, investors, government, and non-governmental organizations across sub-Saharan Africa, and assisted with developing and implementing capacity building in initiatives for over a decade, right? She has worked across the impact investing continuum, right? Sakai is passionate about both youth and women empowerment, and in turn has been part of teams in the sub-Saharan Africa, which have designed interventions around these areas. Now, amongst her accomplishment, now, listen to this one. Amongst her accomplishment, Sakai serves as the advisor to the Global Steering Group, a global working group, right? And part of the Impact Investing South Africa, which is the IISA, a demand-side working group for the United Nations Development Program, macro, small, and medium enterprises to raise their awareness of the Sustainable Development Goals impact standards, and a member of the Etekwini Economic Council Innovation Workgroup, and advisor for the 4th annual ABSA, or the APSA Business Day Supplier Development Awards. I don't know where to start, but let me start here. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening, Thapelo. Thank you very much for inviting me to your fantastic show. May God bless your ministry, but also the work that you're doing.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Really, really appreciate it. And of course, for you as well, taking the time, I know you're outside of the country.
Yes, I am. It's actually morning.
Oh, is it?
I'm happy to. Yes, yeah, I am. But I'm happy to be part of this session.
Thank you so much. So we'll say good morning to you. And once more, thank you so much for taking the time. Like, where do I start? I was looking at that bio and I was thinking to myself, I have a lot of questions, but maybe we should start here. If we are saying Usisi Sakai, who are we talking about? Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Thank you. Well, thank you for reading my bio. I was actually wondering who you were talking about earlier on.
And that's where the question comes, because there's quite a lot to unpack. But I think it's always best when we hear it from you, you know. And sometimes it's a difficult question, I know. But, you know, it's always nice when you hear it from you.
Yes. Thank you, Thapelo. So let me start off by saying that I am a proud daughter of the Most High God.
Yeah.
I am also an elder at St. Adventist Church.
Yeah.
And really my passion is around entrepreneurship. And this is really because entrepreneurship is a catalyst for economic development. Mm. But also when I look at the African continent, the majority of entrepreneurs that we find are women. And this is why my passion is really around woman entrepreneurship together with youth entrepreneurship, because that is the future of our countries.
That's beautiful. You speak about women entrepreneurship, of course, being the leading, businesses that are in Africa. I suppose then they are also one of those that are hardest hit in this sector as well.
Yes, that is true. Unfortunately, the reality that we've found is that as much as we have over 50% of entrepreneurs being women, they still continue to experience a plethora of challenges. A lot of those challenges really stem around the societies, but also the ecosystems within which they're operating in. And I must say that most of those challenges are highly entrenched in systemic issues.
Okay.
And when I'm talking about systemic issues, I'm talking about how, for instance, some of them still in this day and age battle to access finance because of the patriarchal societies that they find themselves within. But also coupled with that, unconscious bias as well. So believe it or not, often at times for an investor, it's much easier for an investor to invest in a male-owned business just because they're used to that. Even though research will show you that investing in women businesses will yield more return on investment, right? But that's because maybe it might be a male investor investing. And of course, it's easier because you can actually familiarize, but also that's your network. And so those are the systemic challenges that I'm talking about. But hopefully, in the next couple of years, there will be a lot of progress that will take place to assist. I know gender lens investing has become a key priority for a lot of investors, policymakers, decision makers as well, not only in South Africa, but globally as well.
And I think today we are going to look at just one of those challenges, which is funding, right? But you've mentioned quite a lot of the other challenges that I think we still need to find a way to have those discussions about, because it really does seem like it's not only one challenge, it's a plethora of them. But like I said, today we'll just look at the financing part, and then maybe in another installment we'll look at the other ones as well. So how did you find yourself in this career, in this field?
That is a great question. So let me start off by saying that God will meet you where you are in order to take you where he wants you to go. And this is exactly what happened with me before I went to university. I remember sometime when I was in high school asking God to bless me with a career where I could help others, communities, but most importantly, make a difference. So I didn't know what exactly that meant. So initially, I started off toying with the idea of going to study medicine. And then I thought, I can't stomach some of the things that doctors encounter.
Have to stomach,
and then eventually, eventually I found that God answered my prayer. And in each and every aspect of my career, I've been privileged to work in the entrepreneurship sector. And obviously, this has involved me wearing different caps. In some instances, I've worn the cap as a lawyer, as a mining lawyer, transformation, focusing on regulatory, but also local economic development and community-related issues. And another cap, it's been looking at the corporate side. Another cap is really looking at designing programs that benefit SMEs across sub-Saharan Africa. Another cap entailed business developments, so trying to look for resources, but also for more programs that can support SMEs, up until a point where I ended up as the chapter head for ANDI, which is known as the ASPA Network of Development Organizations. And I really think that this was a God-given you know, opportunity for me, because this position allows me to play my part in propelling entrepreneurship development, not only in South Africa, but also in Southern Africa. And so essentially, what I'm now doing is I'm using all of the experience, all of the knowledge, even my LLB degree, which is my law degree, to grow the body of knowledge, to mobilize resources and connect the institutions that are really seeking to propel the small business entrepreneurs who are building inclusive prosperity in the developing world. And so this is why I thank the Lord each and every day that when you commit your ways, when you commit your career, and when you seek Him and you find Him, and when He answers those prayers, God will lead you. And this is what has happened in my career.
It doesn't sound like you have any regrets whatsoever.
No, not at all. People are always shocked when they hear how I've ended up here.
Yeah.
But I've always said to them, it's really been intentional. And, you know, I must say, this is a word of encouragement to anyone who is studying. If you know what you want, and if it's aligned to God's will, God is going to make that possible. And with me, as much as often at times people are always asking students, why do you want to study law? People will say, I want to study law because I want to help others, or I want to make a difference. But when you know what type of a difference it is, the how is not really important. The how is for the Lord. And I think this is where God has played such a pertinent role in directing me, how, and also just guiding me and opening those doors for me.
That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. And I think a lot of young people listening, that is certainly a word of encouragement. Now, let's talk about SME funding now. And I really don't want us to take it for granted that when we say SME, everyone understands what we're saying. So I thought maybe let's start there. When we talk about an SME, who or what are we talking about?
I'm glad that you're asking this question, because this may sound like a simple and easy question, but I don't think we really know what this term covers. And hence why we have all of these challenges and barriers, especially when it comes to SME funding. So we all know that SME stands for, let me actually say SME, because that is what you asked me. It stands for small and medium-sized enterprise. However, believe it or not, each country has its own definition of what constitutes as a small and medium-sized enterprise. So depending on the country, a SME is defined by certain traits, which includes the number of employees or revenues or assets below a certain threshold. But honestly, one thing that I found is that worldwide, SMEs are notably the engines of economic growth. And this is because they're contributors to job creation and global economic development. So I think once we understand what an SME is, what that definition constitutes, it's a lot easier for us to understand what products, what solutions, what programs, what initiatives, what the needs are, what training interventions, what policies do we need. And this is why in South Africa, you'll find that for the past couple of years, there's been a lot of talk about amending the definition of SMMEs. So not only just an SME, but an SMME. And of course, when they amended the definition, they used a lot of these traits. But now what is interesting is that the profile of an SME will differ depending on the ecosystem within which that SME operates in. So the definition for an SME in South Africa is going to differ quite a bit to the definition of an SME in Botswana, for example. But at the end of the day, most of those definitions will have those traits. Those are the common denominators when you're looking at an SME.
Indeed, indeed. If you're joining us right now, welcome to the show. This is Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. You're more than welcome to talk to us on 0734703520. That is 0734703520. For those of you listening to us outside of South Africa, it is +27734703520. And on Twitter, our handle is @WRSID_media. And we are talking to Usi Sekai. She is the chapter head of the Aspen Network Development of Entrepreneurs, which is ANDE, looking after not only South Africa, but the southern part of Africa as well. And we are trying to understand some of the challenges that SMEs, or if you like, MSMEs face when it comes to financing. And we're just laying the ground right now in terms of getting to understand what an MSME ME, or if you like, SME is. I think one of the things that we advocate here, Sakai, is the fact that, you know, not only do we believe that SMEs are the backdrop of any economy. I mean, if you think about it, even in the developed countries as well, SMEs are almost like the backbone of those economies. They are the ones that are driving employment, job creation, and all those sort of stuff. We also firmly believe in that, but also secondly, we believe in the need to do a little bit of inter-Africa trade, where we collaborate as African countries and find a way in which entrepreneurs within the African continent can find ways to collaborate with each other, which is what you were mentioning earlier on. But I wanted us then to say, what are some of then the challenges, right, that SMEs face generally in Africa?
So when we're looking at the challenges, I think it's important to make a distinction between the two types of SMEs that one finds. First of all, we have what is known as an opportunist-driven SMME.
Okay.
Secondly, we have another type which is known as a necessity-driven SMME. Now, the challenges that both these types experience are very different. But broadly speaking, in Africa, what you find is that there are numerous challenges. We could write a whole book in terms of the challenges. But a lot of these challenges stem from the way within which the ecosystem has been established.
Okay.
So you do find that sometimes there is inefficiency of the African capital markets, which supports these SMMEs. Often at times, there's a lack of access to markets. I heard you make mention of intra-trade. It's extremely difficult to move goods between African countries than it is to move goods from, let's say, South Africa to Europe, or South Africa to China, and vice versa, right? You also find that there's a lot of red tape, which stems from some of the policies, but regulatory burdens as well. The environments which these SMEs operate in are not really specific to the needs or the types of the SMEs. And that's why I was trying to make that distinction. Because often at times, the reality on the African continent is that most of our SMEs are necessity-driven SMEs. So these are entrepreneurs who have now turned to entrepreneurship as a form of necessity,
survival.
Not as a form of, survival, not as a form of, oh, here's an opportunity, let me grab it, and I have the resources. And so what you'll find is that their needs are not aligned to both the supply and demand issues. And I'm saying supply and demand, you'll find that from a financial perspective, even the products which are available, financial products, they're not applicable to those types of businesses. They're not applicable to the informal economy. They're not applicable to the rural economy. They're not applicable to the township economies. Also, skills development tends to be an issue. And over the past couple of years, we have seen through a lot of the research that we have done, SMEs complain that the moment we train and empower our employees, often at times they end up now leaving and they'll join the corporate, right? Also because those employees are not so sure how sustainable the business is going to be. Sometimes, and this is a challenge, but it's also been something that has worked out in the past, SMEs are receiving mentorship, but you're finding that sometimes SMEs are actually over-mentored, right? And what then happens is that they're struggling to access the markets, they're struggling to grow their business. And so them being able to scale to the next level, moving from a small business to a medium business to maybe a high-growth enterprise is also a challenge for them, but also them tapping into the relevant networks. There are not a lot of networks on the African continent that specifically support SMEs. And I think that is a challenge which SMEs continue to complain about. You'll find that some of the networks that are there, they speak to a specific group or cluster of ecosystem actors. It could be just relevant to intermediary support organizations or investors or women entrepreneurs. You know, so it's a whole mixture of challenges. But I think market competitiveness, inadequate information, but also just knowing how to tap into these opportunities is also a general challenge, which a lot of SMEs continue to cite across the African country.
Yeah. So it sounds like, you, if I understand you very well, there is some organizations that are available, although not a lot, but there are some organizations that are available to offer funding to SMEs. But the problem that we have, I suppose, is then a mismatch, right? You've got entrepreneurs, like you said, who are driven by necessity and those that are driven by opportunity. And there's a lot of those that are driven by necessity. And therefore, some of the things, the products or services that they offer are not necessarily what is needed in the market, and therefore it sounds like the financiers then cannot finance that because there's a mismatch.
Yes, that's true. So there's a mismatch on two sides. The one side is obviously it's the financing, and the second side is also just the pipeline. What we have seen also, because we do provide grants to intermediary support organizations to support SMEs, is that often at times the SMEs are not investor ready.
Okay.
So on the one side, the funding is there, but on the other side, the SMEs are not investor ready. But that being said, what we've also seen is that sometimes the criteria that is being applied from a funding perspective rules out a lot of SMEs. And this is why I always, on a daily basis, say that the funding is there. It's just an issue of tapping into that funding. But unfortunately, we are not doing justice to the ecosystem. When I say we, I'm talking about investors in particular, banks, DFIs, you name it. We're not doing justice because it's incredibly difficult for SMEs to access that funding. Now, let's look at it. I'm talking from an African perspective. If you are an entrepreneur, let's say a female entrepreneur, and you reside in a certain country that has patriarchal laws and policies relating to collateral, how are you going to approach a bank and ask for a loan and be able to put up your house as collateral, right? Especially if you're married in community or property. This is the reality that a lot of our female entrepreneurs are experiencing in a lot of our African countries. Secondly, if you are not formally registered, how do we expect that business to be able to apply for funding, whether it's a grant, whatever type of funding that you're going to get? It's impossible, right? And then secondly, from an investor's perspective, or maybe from a funder's perspective, if your criteria is extremely difficult and it only targets a small pool, the result that you're going to have is you're going to keep having the same entrepreneurs circling those funding opportunities. And that's what I've seen in the grant space, because that's the space that we're active in. It's the same businesses, right? Because they've mastered the art and they now know the different types of applications. So if the funder is coming from a specific region, this is what is required. If it's coming from another region, this is what I need to do to fine-tune my application, right? And obviously now when we receive those applications, we can only make a decision based on what has been submitted. And so this is why I think funders also need to be flexible in terms of their criteria, but also tailor-make a lot of their funding opportunities to the needs on the ground. And this is why when you are establishing a fund or even designing a fund, I always advocate that it's important for you to have an entrepreneur in the room. Do not design a fund without an entrepreneur. All of the funds that I've been involved in, we have, as part of our methodology, made an intentional objective that it's important for us to have the entrepreneur or representative from the small and growing businesses or SMEs in the room, because they know the reality. And at the end of the day, that fund is going to benefit them and not benefit us. And so I think it's important to make sure that you align it to the needs of the ecosystem and to the SMEs as well.
Sure.
And so I think,
yeah,
if I can just close on this point, that often at times, you know, we hear SMEs complaining about a lack of finance. And I don't think it's necessarily an issue of a lack of finance only. I think there are two challenges. It's access to finance, but affordability. So on the one hand, we're dealing with the issue of the SMEs not being able to access that finance, which is ability. And then on the other hand, we're dealing with SMEs not being able to access that finance. And that impedes incredibly on their growth. And so we tend to call this gap between the finance available to SMEs and the finance that they could productively use as the funding or financing gap.
I think you've answered two of the questions that I was going to have as follow-up on the criteria bit. But I think the point that you made around flexibility of the financiers and the DFIs is quite critical in us closing, I suppose, what you now call the funding gap, right? And tailor-making funding opportunities. And I suppose then it will also close in on the gap of serial-funded companies, like you mentioned, where they know if I go to company X, this is the criteria, and they tailor make their application to that criteria, but they've just got 2 million right now. They're going for another 2 million at another financier because they know they've mastered the art of tailor making the application. And at the end of the day, you're sitting with two or three companies that get funded every single time when you've got a plethora of other small businesses that actually also need some bit of funding. So there's a need to actually look into that and find some ways to be flexible and tailor make their our funding criteria. I was also going to ask about, you know, SMEs themselves. Are they complaining currently about, you know, some of their the funding criteria that is out there? And it sounds like they are. Over and above the issues of funding readiness and all those, the gap that actually exists there. But it seems like SMEs themselves are complaining. So my question then would be, as a side question, is who's speaking for the SMEs?
So to answer the first part of your question, the answer is yes, SMEs are complaining about the funding criterion which is being adopted and applied in a lot of these funding opportunities. But as a global network of organizations, what I've seen is that quite a number of funders are beginning to become very flexible in terms of making revisions and adjustments to their criteria. In particular, the organization that I work for, Andy, we have a number of catalyst funds that we have established. And last year, we had to sit down and think really, you know, what is our criteria focusing on? What should we amend it to include so that it's a lot more diverse, inclusive, but also it speaks to the needs of the ecosystem as a whole. Now, in terms of whether the SMEs are speaking and where they're speaking, unfortunately, there are not many platforms for SMEs to raise their complaints, but also to raise their suggestions as well. And I do think actually it would be very interesting if, you know, SMEs through some of the networks that are already in existence could maybe just reach out to those networks or even funders and share some of their concerns that they have. One of the reasons why we, and I'm talking about we, the South African chapter, started looking at the funding criteria, because we actually had a number of applicants write back to us after they were not eligible for that funding. And they said, hang on a second, why are we not eligible? What can we do to ensure that we're eligible for any funding opportunities that will arise in the future? And we started seeing a trend, but also some level of commonality to say, actually, this is what the issue is looking at. And so maybe we need to look into this criteria, because maybe that is what is pushing a number of organizations out from being able to apply. I do think that, of course, you know, sometimes there are a number of convenings in the ecosystem. Funding doesn't just come from your development finance institutions, your impact investors, your financial institutions. It comes from various sources and ecosystem actors, including government as well, right? So when the government of South Africa, especially the Department of Small Business Development, has a convening that is focusing on financial instruments or funding mechanisms, I strongly encourage entrepreneurs to be part of those discussions. When certain bills or policy instruments are tabled for comments, we need to provide comments to that. I know sometimes people will come and say, but maybe they won't be considered, but you lose nothing from raising it, right? Because you are the one that is on the ground, and you're the one who's wanting to access that funding and finance. And so it's important for us to know this is what your challenges are, and this is what needs to be done. Now, with the Action Lab that we established as an organization, was focusing on gender equality. We had a number of financial institutions and funders in the room, different types of funders. And the moment we started bringing entrepreneurs into the room, I started seeing a shift in the mindset. And, you know, obviously because we are online, I won't be able to name some of these financial institutions, but I can be proud to say that quite a number of South African financial institutions, together with global funders, went back and started revising their application criteria. And so they've started seeing also from their side a lot more businesses being able to apply for funding, but also the pipeline as well. Because remember, some of them are complaining that, you know, we've established this fund, but we're struggling to find the pipeline. So they're not able to build that pipeline. But also we've been saying to them, try and go into a lot of advocacy, PR as well. So make sure that you collaborate with other organizations to share that information. Whenever we have a call for proposals, we will not only share it on our social media platforms and communication channels, but we will also collaborate with other ecosystem actors so that we can ensure that the opportunity goes to everyone as much as possible and not to the same people. So there are different ways for us to be able to also share these opportunities. But I do encourage any entrepreneur who's joined this telephone interview to really try and do an assessment, even just a search on Google of the networks that are out there. You're more than welcome to subscribe to our newsletter. This is the only way you can start getting information in terms of what funding opportunities are. So I would encourage you to be proactive, reach out when you apply, ask. If they don't respond, that's okay, but you lose nothing from asking, and you never know, they might respond and tell you that this is what you needed to do in order for you to apply.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. That was a mouthful. 0734703520, 0734703520. Of course, that's our WhatsApp number if you do have any questions or you might want to get into this conversation that we're talking about, which is SME funding. And on Twitter, our handle is AWRSID_media. I have two questions as we draw to an end of the interview. The first one is who can we look at Silicon Valley as an example and maybe look at that model and try and apply it in the African context? So that's my first question. And two, looking at the criterion, what is that one big one? It sounds like, you know, things like annual financial statements, they seem to be the ones that are standing in between, SMEs getting their funding and all that. So does it play any major role in stopping, financiers from looking at funding these small and medium enterprises?
Okay, so let me answer your first question.
Yeah.
unfortunately, you asked the wrong question. That question. Look, I think Silicon Valley is a fantastic case study and best practice.
Yeah.
But I do think that as Africans, we do need to develop our own Silicon Valley, right?
Mm-hmm.
Often at times I have heard of ecosystem actors coming and saying, let's duplicate what happened in Silicon Valley.
Mm.
And I've said to them, no, we can't do that because the determinants and the ecosystem within which Silicon Valley operates is very different to the determinants and ecosystem needs on the African continent.
Mm.
Also, if you look at the Silicon Valley model of entrepreneurship, it really revolves around high technology firms that are launched on the basis of a potential innovation, right?
Mm.
That is really extremely radical.
Yeah.
Now, let's be realistic.
Mm-hmm.
How many high technology firms do we have on the African continent? There's a lot of research that's out there. Most of the high-performing, high-technology firms are actually situated and located in West Africa.
Mm.
That's the one region.
Mm.
So if we're going to replicate a Silicon Valley, my question is, where would you replicate it?
Yeah.
If we're going to replicate it in West Africa, okay, we can, right?
Yeah.
Then the second would then be East Africa and South Africa. I mean, there's a lot of debate in terms of which one, depending on the research.
Mm-hmm.
So it means that, certain parts and certain regions of our continent will be left out if we're going to replicate. And this is why I think that model, we can look at various factors which have made up Silicon Valley, but we must then make our own ideal model of an entrepreneurial ecosystem. And that should really be based on certain factors such as culture, innovative mindset, infrastructure as well. If we don't have electricity and we're struggling with load shedding, how are we going to be able to expect to have high technology firms perform well, investor pools? We need to have investors that are ready to invest in that. Even investors that are ready to invest in ideas, because that's what's happened with Silicon Valley. Now on the African continent, it's extremely difficult, and this is what a lot of the early stage SMEs complain about with businesses or startups. It's difficult for an investor to invest in them and even invest in the ideation phase. Now, Silicon, it's a lot easier to do that, right? Then we're looking at networking as well. We're looking at access to markets once again, and access to capital, the type of capital that's available. You'll find that your Silicon Valleys will have different types of capital, and to a certain extent they will even have blended finance embodied in that. Now, on the African continent, we're still battling with this idea of blended finance in a lot of our African continents. So the long and short of it is, yes, it's a best case case study and best case practice, but we need to create our own Silicon Valley. And then the last question, which you talked about, relating to just accounting and the reports being a challenge. Yes, that is a challenge. I think the financial systems being in place is important, but also the working capital, CAPEX is something else that a lot of SMEs tend to complain about, and also investors as well. I, as an investor, cannot invest in a business. And I'm not saying this is me as Sakai, but generally speaking, they won't invest in one where they see that there's no working capital, because how am I going to have a return on my investment if I can see that maybe the business will not be able to be operating in the next 2 to 3 years, right? And depending on the type of funding that I'm going to provide, some does require that assurance. So accounting is one. But I think what we started to see in the impact investing space is that a lot of investors and funders as well, they're also working with the SMEs. So a lot of them, through the incubators and accelerators, and I think that is also some of their role, they're trying to ensure that there is some level, of quality BDS that goes towards building and supporting that SME so that they are investor ready. So for example, a lot of them will train them on financial literacy, accounting, how to do their reporting, even pitching, even how to, you know, do business development, and also the legal aspect of it. I've seen quite a lot of firms actually, law firms starting to help SMEs to assist them with their contracts and registration as well. Excuse me for
no
that.
No problem. Okay. So what are the finance options then that are available? Debt funding, for instance, I suppose is one of them.
Yes. So there are quite a few. There's debt funding. There is grants.
Yeah.
There is equity as well.
Yeah.
There is also mezzanine. So it really just depends with the type of ecosystem or market within which that organization or SME is operating in. You also do have what is known as quasi-equity and guarantees as well.
Okay. That makes sense. And then what would you say then is the easiest way or simpler way for finance to be accessed by SMEs? In other words, what's the one thing, if you sort this out, maybe it's not one, it's a lot, but where can they start?
I would suggest SMEs tapping into networks. And the information which the networks tend to circulate and share, you'll always find funding opportunities in that. And also, I think governments, especially in South Africa, and I know in other African countries, the ministries that deal with small businesses, they have really ramped up their websites. So you'll also be able to find any public or government incentive or programs and funding opportunities that are also available if one is looking into tapping into that as well.
Yeah, wow, that's very nice. So tap into networks. Sunday is one of them, I suppose, that they can also get into, and they'll then get the information that these networks also have and disseminate to their members. Any last words as we end to our listeners?
Yeah, so this is a fantastic topic and a very crucial one. I think we could speak for hours.
Yes.
But in closing, I would just like to encourage each and every entrepreneur, business owner, do not give up. You know, be very innovative in the way that you're going to approach funding and financing. In some cases, you can make use of grants, and in other cases, you can actually even use those grants so that you can also be eligible to apply for equity debt and these other instruments that I've made mention of. The funding is there. There's a lot of funding that is you know, within our ecosystems, it's really about you being able to tap into it. So please engage, network with as many people as possible. Don't sit and wait for the opportunity. Co-create that opportunity with a funder or even with a development finance institution or impact investor. I think right now we have found ourselves in a very unique position as ecosystem actors, in the sense that there is a lot of hunger and thirst for collaboration. But also what we're finding is that decision makers, policy makers, and funders are really looking at SMEs as the backbones of the economy and catalysts for job creation. And so because of that, I think you find yourself in a very unique position. And I think also because, you know, this is a Christian radio show, please pray to the Lord and ask the Lord to direct you to the right people. Even when it comes to investors, who would be the right person to invest in your business, commit your business in the hands of the Lord. And I'll close by saying Proverbs 3 verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all of your ways acknowledge the Lord. And that is what I'd encourage each and every SME or entrepreneur.
Sure. Thank you so much, ma'am. I think this is part one, please, because I think there's a lot to uncover and there's a lot for us to unpack on this very crucial conversation. Like you said, it's one that I think we can have for days, because I think we need to find innovative ways and I suppose tailor-made ways in which we can actually close this gap, because it is a gap that is there and we need to find a way to bring the two together, the financiers sitting on the other side and the SMEs sitting on the other side. That are looking for funding and those that are looking to fund SMMEs. And until we close that gap, this conversation is one that we should certainly have. I see part three, part four, part five. I actually see a series where we could be talking about this and unpacking it a little bit. But thank you so much for joining us. Good morning to you. And I hope that you do have a fantastic day and hope to see you when you do come back, of course, to South Africa.
Thank you very much. And thank you for having me, Brother Tapelo.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That was Sis Sekai helping us understand SMME funding and why it is important.